Now, I know that I'm tracking with God when the message that I have corresponds with the worship or Donnie. She just preached my message. And it's all good because I just know that we're right in line with God. Amen? Glory to God. 2022, can you believe it? You know, I growing up, and I was born in the 50s, so I thought the year 2000 would never get here. And we've blown by that, right? Do you realize that we're almost a quarter of a century past 2000? Isn't that wild? It's wild. But 2022, or 2022, I should say, is going to be a good year. It's going to be a better year than last year, possibly. And the reason I say possibly, and I want to speak to you this morning about your future. And when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to me about my future. Because my future is not determined only by what happens to me. It's determined by what I do when something has happened to me. Go, first of all, and we'll read Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. And many of the New Year's postings on Facebook have had this particular verse. But I want to emphasize some points in it, and then we'll go on. It says in verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to the things which are ahead." I want to point out to you that your future is determined by how you handle your present and what you do with your past. How many know that the past is the past? But yet we carry the past with us a lot of the times by what we feel, what we say. You know, many of us have gone through horrendous things, and those things can affect us. But we have to be determined to let that go and push on to our future. There are many people who are still blaming their parents for their lives. My life sucks because my dad was this way, or my mom was this way, or this happened to me, or this happened to me. And horrendous things happen. But the reality is that we need to be at the place where we're taking responsibility for our own choices, because it's our choices going forward that can either make us or break us. We have to be at the place where we're going to forget those things that are behind and press toward the things that are ahead. I'm thinking of people who grew up in hardship, and you can have a whole group of people, and all of them are in the same neighborhood, same circumstances, same horrible situations, and yet there's one or two of them that get out of that and they go on to flourish. And what's the difference? Why do they do it and all the rest of them seem to be stuck in the rut of their poverty or their circumstances? I believe the difference is they said what happens to me, the two that went on, said what happened to me or where I'm born is not going to be a deterrent to where I'm going. In other words, I'm not going to let what others have placed me in or pushed me in keep me down or keep me in that place. Now, I know that I'm speaking to several online and several here in the building, and we're at different ages, different stages, but the reality is we all have a future. And as far as God is concerned, His future for you is supposed to be good. It's supposed to be prosperous. But yet if we do a self-evaluation, sometimes we go, well, you know, God, I know that's what you said in your word, but not so much. It just doesn't seem to be happening to me because and sometimes you can almost, and I felt this way, I'll be honest with you, when Renita was, in the hospital in Hawaii, when we're supposed to be on our dream vacation, I went, God, this sucks. Am I cursed? Here I am, this big blessing, and all of a sudden all this stuff happens. God, am I cursed? And I'm going to take you to a story that kind of relates how we need to respond even when our circumstances aren't what they need to be, because our future depends on our response more than it's determined on what's happened to us in the past. Glory to God. Go with me to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to start in 14. And all of you know the story of how Israel was enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, and how at first it was really great because Joseph had paved the way, and the Pharaoh loved him and his family and treated them really well. But after 400 years, it became very oppressive, and they were slaves, and they had to do all this menial task. Well, Moses came, and he said, "I'm your deliverer. God spoke to me in the wilderness. I'm come to set my people free." And God delivered them through many things, but they got to the place where they were backed up to the sea of the Red Sea, and it looked like Pharaoh's army was going to come and attack them. And this is what happened. God split the sea, and the people of Israel went through on dry ground. The Egyptian army came to take them over, and God put the water back where it was and drowned the whole army. But let's look at verse 30. It says, "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw a great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." That seems like a good position to be in. We might have been up against the sea. We might have faced obstacles that were just huge. And it seems like even they might be around us right now, but we got to remember that God is with us. God is for us. And I want you to hear the response of Israel at the place of this great victory. So let's go to chapter 15. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider are thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He's become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise Him. My Father is God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army are cast into the sea. His chosen captains were also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemies in pieces. In your greatness of your excellency, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath, and it consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright like a heap, and the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword in my hand, and they shall destroy them. But you blew with your wind, and the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like your glorious? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? You stretch forth your mighty hand; the earth swallowed them up. And your mercy, you have gone forth. The people whom you've redeemed, you've guided them in your strength and into your holy mountain." It goes on and it talks about how God was just with them and He was for them and everything was great and God was so good, and look what God has done. And how many times have we come into situations where that's been our response? Out of good times, "God, look at my, oh, glory to God, I got this job. Glory to God, I got this house. Glory to God, I got this raise." Whatever it is, we get in that and we just begin to praise God in the middle of the victory. Right? Now watch this. Go to verse 22. Well, actually, let's go to verse 20 because I like this verse. It said, "Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went with her after with the timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them and said, "Sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. His horse and His rider has thrown into the sea." It was such a victory. Such a victory march, right? And they were thinking, "Yeah, we got this. We're going to go forth and do mighty things for God because look what God has done for us." Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Sur. And they were there 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. 3 days. They're having a party. It's like New Year's Eve night. And oh, glory to God, 2022 is here. We're going to have great things in 2022. Let's get some timbrels. Let's dance. Let's have a celebration of how good this year is going to be. But 3 days later, things happen, right? And listen to this. And they found no water. Verse 23 says, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water, Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" They just watched this miracle from God. And instead of reminding themselves, God is the same God who brought us out. And while we're facing this situation with no water and we're thirsty, we've got to trust that God is going to be with us in our future. He didn't bring us out to leave us. He didn't bring us to this place so that we could die in the wilderness. He brought us out to be His people, and He is our God. So what am I saying to you today? What are you facing? What are you excited about? Maybe you've been in a meeting with great things happening with the Lord and all of that, and you just go, "Boy, I can just conquer the world." That's not the critical point of your future. The critical point of your future is how you react when the water dries up. How you react when things aren't going the way that you planned. "Well, God, I didn't think I'd be here." From God's perspective, He said, "I knew you'd be there. Am I still your God or not? Are you going to praise me or are you going to complain?" Because your future is determined on your choice. If the people of Israel at that point would have just began to shout and say, "Glory to God, it's time for another miracle from Him," they would have received it and they wouldn't have had to suffer the wrath or persecution of what was going to go on. Look at verse 26. And He said, "If you will diligently heed the voice of your God and do what is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and His statutes, I will put none of these diseases on which you would have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you." If you'll do what I tell you to do, if you will do, if you'll be who I tell you to be, if you'll say what I tell you to say, then I'm going to do miraculous things for you. But the implication is, if you don't, that's on you. The results of not obeying are on you. So what I'm telling you today, it pays to serve God. It pays to find out what He says and begin to do things His way. Your future is determined by your choices as well as the circumstances that surround you. You are responsible for your choices, and no one else can make your choices for you. And when I say your choices, I'm not just talking about where you're going to live, how you're going to eat, all of those things. What I'm talking about is the choice your attitude is found in your circumstances. Glory to God. I know many people go through some stuff. I've been through some stuff. But here's what I found, that God is faithful in the midst of what I'm going through. And God is faithful in the midst of what you're going through. So what you have to talk about more than what you're going through is the faithfulness of God to get you through. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Isaiah, and I don't have that down in my notes, but let's just turn there. Isaiah 43. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, 43rd chapter. I'll get there eventually. Isaiah 43. Now watch this. But now says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who has formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba into your place. Come on. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. The point that I'm trying to make, and I want to emphasize, your future is determined on how you view God in your circumstances. But not just how you view God in your circumstances, what choices you make based on how you view God. What I'm talking about is, are you going to complain? Are you going to murmur? Or are you going to be in a position to thank God for what He's done for you, and thank God for who He is, and thank God that He's with you? Now, I want you to notice that he said in verse 2, he said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Now, from my perspective and your perspective and looking at your past and going into your future, you'd say, well, Lord, how come the waters came? How come I had to go through this? Or how come this happened? Or how come this happened? Or why did that happen? You see, if you maintain that kind of questioning, then you're denying that God is in your future. I don't know why I'm in the water. I don't know why it's flooded. But here's what I've got to be determined to recognize is that God, you're with me. I'm in the midst of the fire. People talk about the fire and how the devil's doing this and the devil's beating me up and all of this over and over and over again. And their future, because they're talking about that, is one where the trials overtake them all the time. But what I'm telling you this morning is that victory is in the name of the Lord. Victory is in the name of the Lord. He is the victor. And what you have to do in the midst of your circumstances, no matter what pain that you're in, no matter what's going on in your life, is you got to go, praise be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. He's with me in the storm. He's with me when I'm going through it. He's with me. Glory to God. Had a friend of mine, and I've told this story before. He was in a motorcycle accident, and man of faith, he said after the accident, he said, God, he said, I'm a Psalms 91 man. I talk about, you know, that I'll not be in the snare of the enemy, that no pestilence will come my way, all of those things. I've quoted that. What happened? And he said, the Lord spoke to him. He said, well, you can't be delivered from a snare if you're not in one. So rather than looking at why was this in this accident, how about looking at the fact that God spared you, that you're fine now, that the insurance company paid more for your motorcycle than it was worth? Why? Because God delivered him from the snare of the enemy. So all of his talking about who God was and how God protected kept him in the midst of his circumstances, even though the circumstances might not have looked like victory at the moment, it was victory because of his position. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So all of us go through things, but we're responsible for our attitude toward our future. We can't always control the circumstances, but we can always control our attitude. In fact, our attitude is one that we choose no matter what our attitude is. In fact, let me just say it this way. Sometimes we have such attitudes that are pre-programmed into us that it's our automatic response. Well, nothing good ever happens to me. Well, you know, I guess that's just how it goes. Well, I guess I'm just cursed. And then we reflect on that and we go, well, you know, other people, they're responsible for my position. And if this person would have done that, or if that person would have done that, I'd be happier. If this person, I would have joy. Or if this person, I'd have peace. And if they'd stop doing this, what you've just done is you've left control of your future to people instead of leaving it to God. In other words, quit talking about what the people have done and begin to talk about what God has done. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, whether the circumstances dictate that or not. The peace of God has come to me, whether I feel like I'm in peace or not. There can be turmoil all around me, but yet I know that I know that I know that God is with me. Come on, can I get an amen? I believe that God wants you to begin to take on a different attitude. I believe that God wants you to begin to look at the Word of God, begin to listen to the Spirit of God, just do what He says and leave the results up to Him. It is important that you're doing what He says. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Listen to this. It says, after these days, deeds of faithfulness, Shinar-Irib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and camped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. In other words, after this faithful, everything was good. But here comes this king, and this king says, I'm going to get Judah. I'm going to take care of Judah. And it was a formidable army. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib, whatever, had come, and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with the leaders and commanders to stop water from the springs that were outside of the city that they might help them. And thus many people gathered together who stopped the springs, and the brook ran through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find so much water? And then he strengthened himself, built up the wall that was broken and up to the towers, and built another outside, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made weapons and shield in abundance. Then he set up the military captains over the people and gathered them together in the open square of the city gate and gave them encouragement, saying, now listen, here's what I want you to see. You can have an enemy all around you. You can have obstacles all around you. You can have sickness all around you. You can have debt all around you. You can have all of those things around you. But here's the first thing. You must consult with the Lord. So, Lord, what are you saying at this time? What are you saying to me? What am I supposed to be doing? And then listen to his encouragement. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria. In other words, when you're facing obstacles in your future that seem impossible, don't be dismayed, don't be afraid, but stand up, encourage yourself. Encourage yourself by saying some things. Listen to what he says. He says, nor be afraid of the multitude that is with them. See, they could look out of the city and see the army that was arrayed against them. They could see what was coming to consume them and to take them. But he said this, for there are more with us than with him. And now watch this. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. In other words, we have to recognize that we have more at our disposal when we're facing our future than our arm of flesh. Glory to God. It is up to us to do what we know to do. But at the end of the day, is God with us? Is God for us? Is God real? Is God the one who you know, parted the waters? Is God the one who dried up the sea? Is God the one who you know, gave manna in the desert? Is God the one? Yes, He is. And He's the same God for you. And He said, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is with you today, but you must declare to your future that my future is secure because God is with me. Glory to God. I believe it's God's will for us to be prosperous. I believe it's God's will for us to go forward in victory. I believe that with all of my heart. But it doesn't matter the circumstances that I'm facing. In my circumstances, I must choose to trust God in spite of what I see, in spite of what, you know, is coming against me. I must choose God. Do you see God with you today? Do you see God with you tomorrow? And I'm talking about vision now going forward. Do you see God in the midst of your circumstances? You might be in a position where you've got choices to make. God, do I go here or do I go there? And turmoil will come when you go, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? It's time for you to take a break from that and just say, Lord, I believe that I'm your sheep and your sheep know your voice. And the voice of a stranger, Lord, I'm not going to follow. And Lord, you're going to lead me and guide me and show me which direction that I should take. And God, if you're with me, it doesn't matter the obstacles that are in front of me. It doesn't matter my failures in the past because you've redeemed me. It's because that you're with me that I'm going to go forward with confidence. And my future is bright because you're with me. God's plan for us is to have a future that is full of the miraculous power of God in our lives. Glory to God. And listen, it doesn't matter to us. You know, I'm older than I once was, aren't we all? But I'm older than I once was, and I could sit down and go, well, Lord, I guess I'm done. But I refuse to do that because the same God that was with me when I was 20 is the same God that was with me when I was 30, is the same God who's with me when I was 40, and on and on. He's the same God that's with me right now in my 60s. And glory to God, He'll be the same God in my 70s. He'll be the same God in my 80s. He'll be the same God however long I live. I believe, you know, I'm hoping and believing that Jesus is coming back before I reach my 80s or 90s or whatever. But here's the point. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God is with me, who can stand against me? In fact, let's go to Romans chapter 8 and look at this. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to go to verse 34. Hallelujah. See, it's not enough to just know these verses when you're facing your future. It's not enough to just have receive them at some time and just go, yeah, bless God. I heard that. I got really pumped up with that sermon that the pastor gave, or that sermon I saw on TV. I got really pumped up. I went, yeah! That won't do it. You have to get in the midst of what you're going through and the future that you face, the future that I face for myself in particular. And I have to say, in the midst of my future, this is my reality. This is what I believe. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at verse 34. Did I say it? Yep, 34. Who is he who condemns? Who is he who condemns? Many of us are stuck in a pattern of failure after failure after failure after failure because we're living under condemnation from our past, or condemnation that others have spoken over us, or condemnation about how we feel about ourselves. And the reality says in verse 1 of the same chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if that's the reality of who I am, I've got to begin to live for my future out of the reality of what Jesus has done for me, rather than the way I see myself in my past or the way others see me. Listen, I'm not confined to your beliefs. I'm confined to my beliefs. If I believe with all my heart that Jesus is who He said He is, then I can have what He says I can have. But watch this. In Romans chapter 10, it says that that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I love that because it doesn't say faith comes by having heard. It's not what you heard last year. It's not what you heard the year before. It's not even what you heard yesterday. It's what are you hearing right now? Because your faith is determined by what you're listening to or what thoughts are coming into your head. Is your head filled with thoughts of failure, of the TV news being the fortune teller to you and how things are going to be? You know, it's like, and quit listening to all other voices and get quiet before God and just begin to say, God, what are you saying to me? Because God will never lead you to a position of condemnation. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but I came that the world might have life through me. Our future is full of the life of God. Our future is full of the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us. Verse 34 again. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Now watch this, because it's not saying, as some of us feel like, facing our futures and looking at our past, it's not saying you're in Christ so that you'll never have tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril or sword. You might be in the midst of that, but watch again what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In other words, no matter what you're going through in your past or even in your present or even what you have to face tomorrow should separate us from the fact that Jesus loves me. And not only, what is the love of Christ? The love of Christ is that he saw us in a condition that was totally separate from God, without hope in this world, the Bible declares. But then he looked at us and said, I'm going to go down and take their place and pay the penalty or the condemnation of every sin they've ever committed. I'm going to take that on me on the cross. And when I take that on me on the cross, they don't have to carry it any longer. But not just that, that's going to be the place where I can now put into them a new heart, where my spirit can dwell. So we as believers are not sitting under condemnation, but the love of Christ has brought us into a brand new position that we need to stand in and look at going into our future. So when some of these things happen, and they will, we can know that Jesus is with us. And his love surrounds us. His love protects us. His love is going to allow us to be seen through. Watch this now. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Think about this for a minute. Every one of the apostles in the New Testament, except for John, were martyred for the gospel. And some of them had horrific deaths. But none of those things can separate us from the love of God. We've got to become more love of God focused and centered in our future. In other words, Jesus loves me. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter if this goes well or bad. That's the circumstances aren't the determining factor of my future in God. My future in God is determined by what Jesus did for me. And nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from that. Glory to God. I'll just be honest with you. And I think most pastors, most people in ministry have thoughts of, well, I could have done this, or I shouldn't have done that, or if I'd only done this better, or if I've only done this, then I would be more successful for God. And at the end of the day, it's like, God, how could you even be pleased with me because I haven't done enough, I haven't been enough, I haven't, you know. And what are those? Those are nothing more than condemnations trying to tie you to the past to keep you from going forward. So we have to be determined to do is say this: God, I might have messed up in the past, but I'm getting up today, and I'm getting up in You, and my future is in You. What You tell me to do, I'll do. What You say to where to go, I'll go. Glory to God. Watch this now. Let's go on. Verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Do you see yourself as a conqueror going into 2022? Do you see yourself with hope going into 2022? Are you allowing to see your future like from January to February to on and on? It seems like they go by faster every year, right? I mean, it seems like just yesterday it was, 2021 happening. But the reality is you've got to wake up tomorrow morning with your future in mind, but your future in mind through the light of who you are in God and what God has done for you and how much He loves you and how much He has a plan for you and a future and a hope for you. You're not hopeless. I don't care what your circumstances are. You might be sitting at home not being able to get out, might be sick, tired, broke, busted or disgusted, but what I'm telling you right now is that you have a future and your future is in Him. But there's three steps that I think that you need to do in order to make your future better, to make your future more determined or more fashioned in the way God that would have you. And God said that His future for you was good. His future was for you to be prosperous. He's got a way for you. Now listen to this. The first thing that you have to do is you have to believe it. You have to believe that this applies to me. That this absolutely, that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. For I'm persuaded, now are you persuaded, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height or depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm persuaded that God loves me. I'm persuaded that the love of God is going to be in me tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that. I'm persuaded that God will use me for His glory. I'm persuaded that God has a plan for my life. I'm persuaded that if God before me, who can be against me? I'm persuaded that the same God that split the Red Sea will split whatever's in front of me if God is in the plan and God wants me to go there. Glory to God. I believe it, but the first thing is I got to believe it. Now, here's a very important thing. The second place is you've got to believe it, and then you've got to say it. The Bible says, Jesus said this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you believing God in your heart? Or are you believing your circumstances in your heart? Are you listening to the voices of your past in your heart? Because if you are, then out of your mouth is going to say, well, I guess we're just cursed. I guess nothing good ever happens to me. I guess I'm just, this is just the life that I'm going to live. God, some people even blame God. They go, well, this is the way God made me, so that's the way it's got to be. This is, all my circumstances are up to God, and God willed it. So that's I'm just going to live that out. The reality is that's a lie. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. God has a desire for you. God has a future for you. But you need to begin to believe that in your heart. And then in the midst of your circumstances, what you're going through, you got to get up. Listen, I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter, and I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to see this thing through. First thing is you have to believe it. The second thing is you have to say it. And then the third thing is that you have to act like it. Let me say that again. You've got to believe it, you've got to say it, and then you've got to act like it. We've got to position ourselves in the Word of God, following what God tells us to do, and begin to speak that I'm going to live for God. God's living in me. His love is over me. I'm going to do what He tells me to do, and I'm going to reap what He wants me to reap, and I'm going to act like God is with me. So when I wake up in the morning, even if I feel like I'm, depressed or whatever, I'm going to, wait a minute, depression, listen to me. God is with me. And if God be with me, then who can be against me? Maybe you got voices in the side of your head, you know, on the sides of your head just coming at you and say, well, you failed last year, you failed this, you failed that, you went bankrupt, you did this, you did that, this marriage failed, that marriage failed, whatever. And those are coming at, why even try? Listen, you got to shut those voices down. You got to quit believing that and begin to believe that if God be for me, who can be against me? You've got to begin to believe that He who sent His own Son, you know, and died for us, that same God who sent that for us, won't He still live for us and live through us and live with us and live in us? The answer is true. God is my future. God is my future. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I've got to act like it. I've got to wake up and go, you know, this is going to be a good day because God is with me. No matter what I face, I can have an attitude of gratitude because God is with me. Think about this, and we'll just close with this. Going back to the Egyptian or the Israelites out in the wilderness, if they would have kept singing the song when the water wasn't there, or if they had kept singing the song even when food wasn't there and they had to have manna, or kept singing the song even when the quail came and it was day after day, if they would have kept singing the song, they'd have marched right across the wilderness and into their promised land instead of staying in that wilderness for 40 years and actually dying off, not really receiving their promise. They died off in the wilderness because they did not believe that God was with them, that God was for them, and that God was in their future. So this morning, I just need you to believe that. I need you to walk in that. I need you to say that. And then I need you to act like that's true. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the Word today. I thank You that You're a miraculous God. I thank You, God, that You're for us, that You're not against us. I thank You, Lord, that everybody that's here in the room, but everybody that's listening to me, has a bright future in You. 2022 is going to be the best year of our lives because we're going to recognize You more. We're going to obey You more. We're going to speak about Your goodness more. And God, we're going to see Your power operate in our lives more and this year than ever before. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask You to bless everybody who's listening. If those who are listening don't know You, Lord, I ask You just to speak to their hearts, to touch them. And if you're out there and you don't know God, if you listen to this message, you want, I want that kind of relationship with God. The first thing you need to do is repent of your way of thinking. Repent of the fact that you think I don't need God or you know, that I don't need a Savior. And just ask Jesus to become Lord of your life. Say, Jesus, I've sinned. I ask You to forgive my sin. I need You to take me to the Father in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart, so I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God, You've raised Him from the dead. And according to Your Word, I'm saved. And because I'm saved, I'm going to live for You with everything that I've got, no matter what the cost. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, then you're born again. Glory to God. Let somebody know. Let me know. Glory to God. Lord, bless everybody in their body and their physical health. And Lord, I just pray a blessing. I declare a blessing by the blood of Jesus over every ear that's hearing what I'm saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.